Did it happen again? Black student, white cop, controversy in South Carolina? I'll weigh in on that today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here's what we're going to commit to do. Whenever we have a really volatile situation in the news, an emotionally charged one, a difficult one to navigate, we commit on The Line of Fire to listen to each other and to talk candidly to each other, to learn from each other, to walk through a minefield together. Those who've been listening to The Line of Fire for years know that's the reason that I have your respect as a radio host and you have my respect as listeners. Because we talk through the issues candidly. This is Michael Brown. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That is 866-348-7884. Okay, let me lay out the situation in case you haven't heard about it. And then let me lay out my questions for you, all right? Now, I remind you, I am welcoming, your candid honest calls. I am welcoming your honest perspective so we can learn from each other and we can see if from whatever perspective we're coming from, Christian, non-Christian, rich, poor, black, white, Gentile, Jew, whatever different perspective, American, non-American, if we have different perspectives on the same events. All right, so here's the scenario. There is a high school in South Carolina. There's a 16-year-old girl using her phone during the class. And that's the first thing that's shocking to me. Why is someone using their phone during class? The teacher in the class, now I'm going to use black and white with things just so you know, so everything's clear, all right? Black teacher, black student. He tells the student, 16-year-old girl, to put the phone away. She refuses. Now, again, that boggles my mind even more. What? Student refuses to comply with teacher. Yeah, you say, Mike Brown, what world are you living in? This happens a lot. I understand. Still boggles my mind. All right. Now, because the student will not comply, he gets the administrator. I'm not sure the administrator's color came up. Was the administrator white? Someone can clarify that for me. The administrator comes in now and tells the student to give up the phone. No, won't do it. They're not taking the phone away for good. Just during class, give me the phone. No, she will not listen now to the administrator. So they then call in the policeman. Now, another shocker that lots of schools have police presence. That's just the atmosphere in the schools. The policeman, who's white, now comes up to the student and asks her to give him the phone, and she refuses, and now he's going to all schools in South Carolina, Joey? All schools are, anyway, all public schools have police now? Everywhere? All right. Anyway, resource officers, as they're called. All right, sorry, I didn't realize that, but that's the state of our schools across the country. Hey, I'm all for the protection. I'm all for protecting our kids. All for that. But a lot of it's fighting within the school and so on. So when the officer now tells the student she's got to get up, she refuses. So now she's refusing to listen to the officer. He then lays a hand on her to tell her to move. According to some reports, she then punches him in the face or in the chest. He then grabs hold of her around the neck to pull her out of the chair. You watch the video. It's kind of horrifying. Now, some have said if someone resists arrest, police can use whatever force they need to use. In any case, within a day, the FBI is investigating this. The Justice Department is investigating this. An internal investigation is completed. The officer is fired. I got a bunch of questions about this. I don't know if it's a race issue at all. From what I understand, his girlfriend, the cop's girlfriend, is African-American. He's white, she's black. But I got a bunch of unanswered questions here that I want answered. So let's talk. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We can't have a situation in which a big chunk of the population feels like maybe the system isn't working as well for them. At the same time, too often, law enforcement gets scapegoated for the broader failures of our society and our criminal justice system. And I know you do your jobs with distinction no matter the challenges you face. That's part of wearing a badge. But we can't expect you to contain and control problems that the rest of us aren't willing to face or do anything about.
That was President Obama speaking yesterday at the International Association of Chiefs of Police in Chicago. So here are my questions, all right? Here are my questions. And phone lines are instantly jammed. I want to get your perspective, all right? My questions are as follows. Shouldn't there be more attention on the breakdown within the family, within the school, within the society, in terms of lack of respect for authority? Shouldn't there be some discussion of how glaringly wrong it is, how shocking it is that there can be this level of disrespect for teacher, then administrator, then law enforcement officer, that level of disrespect for authority? Shouldn't that be a major discussion here? That's number one. Number two, what would the right approach of the officer have been? Now, these are honest questions, okay? I'm not justifying what the officer did. I'm not condemning what the officer did. I wasn't there to see everything. I've not seen all the videos involved. But what would the right approach have been? Maybe you've been in law enforcement. Maybe you can say, hey, he did what was right. Are you telling me this? You crazy? This guy was a monster. You don't do that. So that's my second question. Third question is, should we be bringing race into this? Should we be bringing race into this whatsoever? Should we make this a racial issue? Now, I'm not saying there aren't racial issues in terms of treatment of blacks by police, that things haven't come up, that there haven't been justified concerns. I'm not denying that. I think we all recognize there have. We also recognize that in certain situations, cops are having their hands tied behind their back, so to say, because they're afraid to address certain things for fear to look like racial profiling. That's a whole other volatile situation. But did this have anything to do with race? You got a black teacher, you got a black student, you got a white officer who apparently is dating a black woman. Was this a race issue or was this an authority issue? Was this an issue of an individual and a cop? And that's the issue at hand, and that's what we should focus on. And was there any justifiable reason for the FBI and the Department of Justice to get involved in this with all the other problems and issues we have going on in our country? So these are questions I'm putting out. I want to get your perspective. I have not been able to come to a final conclusion, except what bothers me is the lack of emphasis on the blatant disregard for authority and the swiftness with which the officer's already fired and that this is subject to national investigation. I know it went on video and I know the videos go viral. I understand that. I understand that. And it could be there were many ways better that the officer could have handled this. It could be. Now, some reports say that the girl punched the officer first when he laid his hand on her, grabbed her arm. And others say that when he put his arm around her neck, she's flailing and trying to get free. Either way, we can discuss all that. But I want to get your honest perspective. I'm here to raise questions. I'm here to discuss issues. I'm here to direct calls. And I'm here to learn from you. All right? And hopefully you can learn from me as well. 866-34-TRUTH. And we will start on Long Island with Reverend Bruce. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
God bless you.
God bless you.
I want to ask a quick question because I wasn't sure if I heard it properly. Did you say that she punched him?
Yeah, according to the sheriff, that when the officer, that there was another video that he had seen, and when the officer put his hand on, grabbed her arm, that she then punched him either in the face or in the chest. Now, another student said that when the officer put his arm around the neck, that's when she tried to hit him. But apparently, according to the sheriff, he did see a video where the girl hit the officer And then apparently after that, he grabbed her around the neck. But either way, the sheriff was horrified by what he saw. But then I did hear from different reports that she did strike the officer. Yep.
Okay. I did happen to see the video and how she was flipped all over the place. Let me explain to you how I feel in this perspective. Back in the 90s, I was a paraprofessional for the Board of Education. Mm-hmm. And they placed me into the special education department. What that young lady was doing, she looked like a saint compared to the special education department with the children that have bad behavior on their way to jail kind of behavior called size 7. Mm-hmm. And back in those days, you did not have police in policing the schools inside. Mm-hmm. You had security guards, but you didn't have police. And these kids were really out of control. A lot of them needed to be medicated. And some of them, they not only were threatening the teachers, they were beating up the teachers, okay?
Mm.
And
yep.
There was a, I'm serious, and I'm in this room and I'm seeing these kids go crazy. And I was one-on-one with one kid who was actually protecting me, right? The wild situation. But they had a designated gym teacher. In most of the schools, there was always like a bouncer. And typically a teacher that would intervene in situations that makes her look like a saint, okay? And they would, man, because they were brute. They were strong. They were gym teachers. The biggest guy in the school, and he was designated to break up, to interact in situations that were potentially dangerous. We would call him. He'd come into the classroom, and whoever was starting the trouble, he would grab the kid and literally manhandle him out, or her, out of the room and put him into the principal's office, either the parents or the foster care parents, where was the designated guardian, would come and pick the kid up. Now, and so I'm saying all this to say this. I do not think it is a good idea, and me experiencing things like this, which was crazier, to have a school call the police. And here's why. The police, they go beyond that of just handling and removing the problem child out of the situation. They are trained for brute police forcing. They mm-hmm. carry guns, okay? There was a time you did not call a police officer for things like this. The thing was handled within the school situation
right.
and brought into control. Now, whether she hit him or whatever that is, I really do not agree with the school calling the police officer, not unless a major crime, somebody assaulted, shot,
right,
or something crazy.
Let me jump in real quick. Then I got a question, all right,
mm-hmm.
for you. So these are, yeah, I've just been sent more stats here. 43% of all U.S. public schools, including 63% of middle and 64% of high schools, had such officers on their grounds during the 2013-14 school year, according to the National Center for Education Statistics. But remember, this cop is, his job is being at the school during the day. That's what he does. Notice they didn't call him from the outside in. He's already in. That's his job. He's the resource officer at the school. And apparently many schools have such officers there. So just got a minute before the break. And then David Caesar, Donna, Julie, hang on, you're coming next. But Reverend Bruce, in your view, all right, how do you handle it when you don't have, there's nothing you can do to get the kid to comply? And obviously, if the administrator laid a finger on her or the teacher laid a finger on her, there would have been lawsuits. What do you do then?
Now, the police officer, is he a regular patrol officer connected to a precinct, or is he a safety officer within the school?
I believe he's a precinct officer, but his job there, his current job, was assignment as a safety officer at the school.
Okay, because back when I was in the school system, public school system, there was no such thing as having a police patrol officer.
Yeah, I understand. It's a different world. It's a different world
definitely.
Today.
Definitely. And I'm not comfortable with a patrol officer in our schools. I do believe there should be some policing. I think there should be, like we had it back in those days, school safety officers. That was their, you know, job, to protect and to intervene. And the police, outside of that was only called on very serious situations.
And yeah, I understand.
No, so I don't agree with a police officer, a legitimate shit precinct police officer patrolling any of our schools anywhere. I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah, got it. Well, look, obviously the reason they're there is twofold. There are a lot of issues that come up with students, fights, gang things, violence. So they're there to protect student from student, sometimes to protect teachers from violent students. And then they're there to protect students from those that would try to attack the students on the outside. Anyway, thank you for weighing in. All right, I want to hear from you. What's your view? What am I missing? How should we view this? And I got a bunch of questions I put out, eager to get your responses. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Listen to, do I have that clip here? All right, I'll find it. Matt, is it number three? I don't see it on my outline here. I think there's a quote I wanted to get to here. 866-34-TRUTH. There's a group calling themselves the Richland 2 Black Parents Association. They call the video egregious and unacceptable. Quote, parents are heartbroken as this is just another example of the intolerance that continues to be of issue in Richland School District 2, particularly with families and children of color. As we have stated in the past, we stand ready to work in collaboration to address these horrible acts of violence and inequities among our children. Again, here's what concerns me. If the student, I'm not justifying what the policeman did, okay? Apparently, his own district said it was not a legitimate use of force. I'm not justifying it, all right? And again, I wasn't there to see everything that happened, nor am I an expert on what is legitimate or illegitimate use of force. I've read comments from others saying if someone resists arrest, you use whatever force needs to be used to handcuff them and subdue them. And as unpleasant as it may be, that's what you have to do if someone resists arrest. So again, that other law enforcement officials can weigh in on that. I'm not here to justify the policeman's behavior. But I cannot imagine making a statement attacking the police without first saying what the student did is unacceptable and wrong. To call in another example of the intolerance that continues to be of issue in the school, particularly with families and children of color. I don't care if the kid was white or green or yellow or black or blue. When that kid refuses to listen to the teacher, the administrator, and the policeman, how can you have a situation like that in the schools? What's going on in the homes? What's going on in the schools otherwise? Look, even if there were 10 things that society did wrong against that kid up to that point, I'm just taking a hypothetical argument here. How can you possibly justify behavior like that? How do you not make an explicit statement renouncing the behavior and then focusing on the issue? And how do we know it's a race issue? It looks to me like an authority issue. Just putting things out on the table here for discussion. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Donna in Waldorf, Maryland. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you, sir, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Okay, so I am concerned with the broad brush that these groups are painting every police activity. I personally think that this child displayed a high level of disrespect, not only to her teacher and the administrator and the classroom, but the police officer as well. And, I mean, as for your previous caller, all I can say is welcome to the new millennium. The days have changed that you have to have a police officer in the school for the safety of not just the children, but the administration as well. And not from just outside forces, but from the inside forces as well. I have 4 children of my own. And all I can tell you is that my kids will rue the day that somebody from any facility had to call me because they're being disrespectful to people of authority. I believe that it starts with the home. A lot of these children are so disrespectful, inconsiderate, and selfish. It saddens me and it just breaks my heart to see just the level of disrespect that they display. And for people to run to the aid of the child, I mean, to treat her like she did nothing wrong, she was totally wrong. And I'm an African-American woman. She was totally wrong. And if anybody has a problem with how he handled it, I submit the question as well. What else are you to do?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Look, the thing I respect most in everything you're saying is the perspective of a parent. I could not imagine getting a call. Look, we had issues with one of our daughters, you know, sometimes would, you know, roll her eyes at a teacher or have a disrespectful attitude, and we got called in and we were mortified over it. She rolled her eyes at you? She did what? You know?
And, exactly.
But the idea of being on
there and give her to sit there and blatantly disregard a person of authority, what they're telling her to do. I mean, really? Really?
Yeah, that...
I tell you, and now my kids weren't perfect. Trust me, they weren't perfect. But I tell you what, they will rue the day that somebody has to call me to tell them that they are displaying that level of disrespect, because they do regret it. And I'm serious. They will regret it.
Trust me, I thoroughly believe you. Hey, Donna, thank you for weighing in, and I appreciate your passion and conviction. 866-342. So again, I'm getting your perspective. I'm getting your perspective on this, and I'd like someone to answer what the police officer should have done. If you believe what he did was wrong, if there was a better way. I'm not provoking things. I'm asking honest questions, and that's why we have live talk radio, so you get to weigh in, and we can all interact together. All right, we go to Cambria Heights, New York. David, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for bringing this subject up. I want to say, you say that you're neutral and are not condemning, but you go on to mention the sheriff's report, and you talked about the fact that the sheriff claimed that the students punched the officer in his chest, which is not in any of the videos we have seen. So you already have taken sides.
Hang on, David. He said he saw another video. So I'm not taking sides. The sheriff said, no, David, I'm not taking sides.
I think you just
judge me here. Hang on. Let me speak. Then
let me
back
tell you why I judge you. Because it's like me evaluating myself.
But you evaluate yourself, but don't evaluate me. Here,
no, what
I
saying,
said.
If I'm
I
being,
said.
If I make. Let me. Give, let, when I'm saying this, this. If you go into the authority to evaluate what happened with authority, it's like you evaluating yourself.
That sheriff said he was horrified by what he saw, and they fired the man already. So I take the sheriff seriously. In other words, he was horrified by what he saw. He was mainly negative. He didn't justify the police, and they fired the man within a day, which
is... I understand
is,
that, but I, no one else has seen this video.
But David, I also said I don't know if that's what happened. That's a report.
Right. Okay,
so to criticize me...
What I'm saying, usually people would say, we don't know, we have to find out, we have to wait for more information. But already you've evaluated the situation, and based on that evaluation, you made some determinations.
I didn't make determinations. I'm really happy. When I have determinations, I'm totally happy to say them. I don't care who likes me or doesn't like me. But I am
now
saying...
Now, you asked the question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Should race be placed in the issue?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me say something about that. Now, you were concerned about the blatant disrespect for authority. But what about the blatant disregard for blacks who are powerless and have very little authority? This is a white, adult, male officer who's supposed to be a professional, and he's supposed to know how to respond in instances like this.
But it was a black teacher. It was a black teacher. She disrespected a black teacher. All right, stay right there. We got a break. I want to let you speak, okay? So stay right there. We've got a break. For everyone, if you're losing me, don't worry. Just click on your cell phone, your tablet, your computer to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on the banner that says Listen Live. You can keep listening there. All right? Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The incident has caused anger and revived long-held concerns about the treatment of young African Americans in the school district here.
And what about the student resource office, the school resource offices? We really have to take a look at this because they're arresting more people in school than they are in the streets. That cannot be.
The local ACLU chapter notes school discipline, everything from arrests to expulsions and suspensions, is disproportionate. 61% of African Americans receiving such discipline compared with 29% of white students.
That was, speaking in that clip, the Reverend Nelson B. Rivers III of the National Action News, National Network on CNN. So again, the questions to raise here, and I'm putting them out for discussion. Should race be an issue here? You had a black teacher that was disrespected. Then I guess it was a white administrator and then a white police officer. Did color matter? The white police officer is apparently dating an African-American woman. Let's just say that society has been unfair to the African-American population and law enforcement has been unfair. Let's just say that, okay? As one possible issue here, a very real issue in many ways. Okay, if that's the case, what if you had the majority of the problems that were causing arrests happen to come from one sector of the population? Does that mean you got to equal it out? Arrest the equal number of whites, equal number of Hispanics, equal number, okay, check how many Jews are being arrested, how many Native Americans are being arrested, make it equal? Or do you arrest those that are causing problems? Now, the bigger question is, are there issues, larger family issues, larger social issues? I'm totally game to discuss that. I'm going to get back to David, let him speak his mind here for a minute. But I say this last thing. I watched a part of a TV show. Apparently, it's a well-known show, Scared Straight, something like that. But I saw on YouTube part of it, and my heart broke for kids raised in the inner city. And I said, we've got to do something as a church to address this problem because these kids are born with two strikes against them. And somehow there are larger societal issues. So I'm all for discussing the larger societal issues and addressing racism wherever it exists, okay? In our society, when the police are all for having the discussion, 100%. I'm only asking if it applies here. With that, David, please speak your mind and you go for it without my interruption.
All right. This is a girl. She's a minor. She's black. And we seem to be blaming the victim because she might even have special needs. We don't see any evidence that when the police officer approached her that she hit him. She was sitting in a seat quietly, and the chair was knocked over, then she was thrown over, and then she was thrown over again. This is a white, he's an adult, he's a male, he's an officer, he's supposed to be professional and trained for situations like this. The fact that he's dating a black woman doesn't matter because you don't know how he's treating that black woman. So that's out of the fact. I'm a school teacher, a retired school teacher. I taught for 33 years and 8 months. And I've seen special ed children. I've had to deal with them. But I've never, ever thrown a chair over. I've never, ever knocked a child down. I've had them come to me with different things, yes, like knives and what have you. But I've never, ever had that. My family, my father's from Columbia, South Carolina. That's one of the most racist states in the country. Okay. I have been a victim of police brutality in New York. I almost lost my license because of some things that happened to me. But fortunately for our judicial system, they didn't stay with my record. So I see this as a blatant disregard for this young lady. No matter what situation it was, the treatment she received was not concomitant to her behavior.
And do you think it would have been different if she was white, in your opinion, that he would have treated her differently?
If there was a, let's say, a black police officer with a white child, I don't think that would have happened.
I know that
there may be some white children who act similarly, and I didn't see her act any kind of way, but whatever they claim that she did, sure they have. In our country.
Yeah, and let me just jump in. We're out of time, sir. But that's a shocker, that statement. A black officer would have treated a white kid differently. That to me is a bit of a leap. But thank you. Thank you for weighing in.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen, I have said many times I've never been racially profiled. I cannot relate to the treatment that many black Americans have experienced at the hands of law enforcement or in society in general. I'm not denying larger issues. I'm not saying they don't exist. And I don't know what happened in this particular situation. If the officer would have acted differently with a white student or a black student with a black officer or a white student with a black officer, I don't know. That's purely speculative at this point. My question was, should race have been brought in here? And at no point have I justified what the officer's done. I wasn't there, nor do I know what is considered proper or improper use of force, or did the girl strike the officer? Did he overreact? In any case, he was fired. Was that a rush to judgment? These are questions we're discussing. But I very much appreciate the perspective of, and it's not if you agree with me or don't agree, because I don't have an official position. I'm raising questions for discussion. So I welcome your different perspectives. We go to Julie in Rappahannock County, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I would just start off by saying that I was in law enforcement for 18 years and served in a day and time when we didn't have these type of incidents in school. There was not a need for resource officers, but I certainly, as I was transitioning out, that was when the world began to change and there was a need for these resource officers in the schools. Part of my career, I actually worked with the Juvenile Domestic Relations Court, where it was mainly with juveniles who were brought in for offenses, whether it be against police officers, whether it be against teachers, whether it be gangs, whether it be against their own parents. So I would just like to say, first, I just wanted y'all to know where I was coming from.
Yeah, thanks.
I do not believe for one instance that race should be even brought into this conversation. But we have to go back to the beginning. Everyone's focus and view is going to be from where they're coming from. Do they come from a biblical worldview or do they come from a secular worldview? I'm just going to say I'm coming from a biblical worldview. The problem that we have is absolutely this young lady was showing disrespect and disregard for authority. She has been allowed to do that, obviously, in her home. But let's take that a step further. This is all stemmed back from the breakdown of the family back when, and I can say this because I had my career. I retired and then had my children late in life. The mothers are no longer in the homes, and please, I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying my perspective. If you have to work or whatever, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying what I have seen from both sides of the fence. These young kids want so much to have structure in the home and in the family. I saw young girls who ran away from home because they did not feel loved because they had no one at home. This one young girl kept running away and pimping herself out because she wanted attention, and the only way she could get that attention was by going to her pimp and having him, you know, sell her out. I looked at her and I said, but your mom and dad are rich. They're wealthy. They give you everything you could possibly want. She said, all I want is love. Mm. Broke my heart. So when you have these kinds of things, I mean, that's, to me, is to a far extreme. What do you think is happening with just a matter of authority? We have taken away the ability and the right of a parent to discipline their children because we are no longer able to spank them. I get that there are people who abuse. I've been in those court cases as well. But just to spank your child, I mean, I'm going by what God says. God says that he's going to hold me accountable as a parent to not discipline my child.
Now, let me just jump in real quick. I appreciate you weighing in on all that. And your conviction on all of that. We got a bunch of callers. I want to get to as many as possible. So the specific question for you in law enforcement was there a better way? We put race out of the picture, put everything else out of the picture. Was there a better way for the officer to handle this?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I didn't see the video. So I'm going by everything that I've heard you say. and what you had seen and heard and been told. So based on what I did hear from you, I would say that this officer, once she assaulted him, he certainly had the right to use whatever force necessary. However, I would say that once I heard you say he grabbed her by the neck, I don't recall in any training that I've had that there was a hold where we were taught to grab someone by the neck.
Mm-hmm.
I think a better way...
I think try to wrap the arm around the neck and grab the person. But in any case, whether she hit him or not, let's say she didn't hit him, but she refused to move, she refused to yield, she refused to obey him. So and now he says, okay, you're under arrest, and she resists arrest. Is there a better way to do something than using physical force? Is there any other alternative?
Well, the alternative is what we learn in communications. But if that doesn't work, that officer has the right to use whatever force necessary, and hopefully the only force necessary would have been such as a stronghold to get her out of the chair, put her in cuffs, and take her out, remove her from the room. I would just like to say to your callers that feel like this young lady was not disrespectful, all they've done is give her carte blanche to be that way again.
Yeah, and Julie, I don't know, just to jump in, I don't know that anyone's saying, well, the last caller said that maybe she had special needs. We don't know any of that. If she had special needs, probably things like this would have come up before. So we're not justifying what the officer did. And again, I'm not there to see it. I know he was fired. We are asking these other questions. I don't know that anyone's justifying the disrespect, but some seem to be downplaying it. So thank you for the call. Here, I'll give you my take thus far, and then going right back to the phones. 866-34-TRUTH. My take is this. Start off with a statement saying, we are deeply disturbed by this lack of respect for authority that was displayed towards the teacher, towards the administrator, and towards the police. Now, you're not just talking, remember, about this girl. You're talking about the whole class being disrupted by it, all right? We're deeply disturbed by that. That being said, if you believe what the officer did was wrong, we are deeply disturbed by the officer's behavior and believe he used excessive force, and he will be disciplined accordingly. So you make those two statements. But to bring race in, I don't know that race was a factor here. So to jump to judgment on it concerns me. And to downplay the disrespect that was showed concerns me. To be concerned about the officer's use of force, that doesn't concern me at all. In other words, if he did wrong, he'll pay for it. All right? So I'm not justifying what the officer did. I'm asking questions. We go to Montgomery County, Maryland. Sarah, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi again. Since this morning, the internet has another video that purports to show the girl trying to not only punch but to kick, and so that's been all over the internet. And David that called in, the former teacher, I don't know what his age was, but he should know better. He has this wonderful voice God gave him. And he kept looking for it to be racist. First of all, it was a black teacher she disrespected. Then another person. Then another person. Then the white person comes in that's a police officer, and now he's fired. It seems like we need officers in schools to protect students from the students. It's the students that are doing things, and they're not getting good things at home. You know, if I were a teacher, I would think, oh, do I want to be a babysitter? No, I want to teach, or I better go to college, you know, because they're making them babysitters.
Yeah, and look, Sarah, I appreciate the call. There are larger issues that we have to address in terms of family and authority. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying these are larger issues that we have. These situations in our schools today points to larger breakdowns in the home, larger breakdowns in terms of authority in general. 866-34-TRUTH. Octavia in District Heights, Maryland, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, hello, and thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
To speak to the situation as to was the officer out of line, my take on that is that is a child. And if I had, as a parent, seen someone treating my child like that, I would get very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, when I was in school, which I'm 62 now, the parents were held accountable. If your child acts up in school, your parents were called to come to the school. I thought that a situation like that could have been handled where they allowed that child to stay where she was, called her parents, told her parents that she would no longer be able to come back into the school until she's been...
All right, tell you what, stay right there. I want to continue talking to you on the other side of the break. Stay right there.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for your participation in today's broadcast. This is why we are on live talk radio, to hear from you. You get to weigh in with your perspective. If I'm not able to get your call in the next couple of minutes, stay on, because I'm going to continue this discussion into the next hour. You'll be able to listen over your phone, and then we'll bring you up first in the next hour, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to get back to Octavia in one moment. There were reports that this officer was known to be violent, and there was previous complaint or more against him, but had been dismissed. On the other hand, he was given a Culture of Excellence Award by a Richland County Elementary School, where he also worked as a school resource officer in 2014. He worked at Spring Valley High School and Lonnie B. Nelson Elementary School and was a, quote, exceptional role model to the students he serves and protects. One student at the school said this, named Reginald Seabrooks. He captured the video, the incident on video, quote, "The officer in this is a cool dude. He is not racist. Girl was asked to put her phone away, but told teacher no. An administrator was called in and asked her to come to his office. She told him no. He then called the resource officer. When he got there, he asked her nicely to get up over and over. He did nothing wrong. They asked her to get up, but she wanted to show off to someone it looks bad, but she wanted to prove that she was bad." That's the perspective of one of the students. So, Octavia, you were saying that in your day, the parents would be called in if the student acted in a disruptive way, and they would wait for the parent to get there, and then that student would know they were in trouble. Obviously, there's a lot more respect for the home and authority in those days. So here's the question for you. Let's say the parent works, only a parent available works an hour away, and the student has now disrupted the entire class and basically made it clear, if I don't want to obey, I don't have to obey, and there's nothing the school can do to stop that. What do you do then?
Well, just like I was saying, If it didn't create a danger for anybody right there at that present moment, I would let her go throughout that class and try to teach my class as I could. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, when she left that school, she would not be allowed back into that school until her parents came up there and did something about her behavior. And mm-hmm. my second part of this is on the racial part. How is it that we always hear and see on TV all these black kids being shot, beat up in school or whatever, but we never see this going on to a white child? I haven't seen it come on TV yet where a teacher has assaulted or did anything to a white child on TV yet. I haven't seen it. So why is it so publicized when it happens to our black children?
So are you saying it's being wrongly publicized, that they're only giving one side of the story, or that this is a real problem that we need to look at?
I feel like it's being widely publicized with our black children because they're hoping that we as black people will come numb to the situation of our
that's interesting. That's interesting. Okay, I mean, I would have thought that it's trying to expose a problem. But anyway, listen, I really appreciate you weighing in. Yeah, sorry. So sorry. Go ahead. Cut you off accidentally. Go ahead.
Black children? The problem is just black children?
Yeah, the problem is there's a problem with lack of authority, lack of respect for authority in our culture, breakdown in the family in our culture happening across racial lines, ethnic lines. That's the bigger problem I believe we have to deal with. Hey, look, there are a lot of issues. There's racial profiling of blacks, and many innocent blacks get mistreated. Many callers have called in and said, hey, I'm a pastor, I'm a leader, I'm an ethical person, I've been racially profiled. That's terrible. We've got to figure out a way to stop that. On the other hand, have you seen all the videos of black-on-white violence of a white guy in a city like Baltimore because he's white and walked in the wrong area, getting almost beaten to death? So does that, you got problems on all sides. Problems on all sides, deep issues to be addressed. 866-342. Thank you for weighing in. Let's go to Alma in Oxon Hill, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you for having me. Your first question was lack of respect for authority. That's, I guess you say, it's signs of the time. And I do contribute that to a breakdown in the family environment,
yeah.
Which is really sad. I worked in the medical field and worked as an EMT, and I've seen this just really exacerbate as far as the behavior and for my group of people, just for all kids, really. They don't have any respect for anybody. My second thing, I've never heard anything from her parents. Where are the parents for her, the young lady? And also, the officer, I think he could have handled that much, much better. The child's only 16 years old. He should have taken the time to probably have the other kids leave the classroom, and he and the teacher discuss how appropriate way to handle this. It was totally wrong for 300-pound man to take a young girl and throw her across the room. And if it was me and he had grabbed me, I probably would have tried to get him off me as well. I mean, that was totally uncalled for. I mean, I know for a fact that he would not have done a white child like that.
Now, all right, so how that's the only thing I want to question in anything you said. How do you know that for a fact? You've got a black student there saying he's no racist, he's a cool dude. How do you know for a fact that he would have treated a white student differently?
Well, I've seen certain incidents of others. Maybe not him. Maybe I should not have addressed him like that. But I've seen different incidents involving black and white kids, and not once do the white kids suffer consequences of black child does. And it's to the point, I'm a grandmother. I let my grandkids know, you're not white. You have white friends, but you're not white. So respect that and remember that when things are happening. You're not going to get away with it. Your white friend may, but you will not.
If you've witnessed this, I'm not going to argue with what you've witnessed. I do take issue with saying that you know he would have acted differently, but you've withdrawn that. So listen, that's why we have open lines for folks to call in so that people can hear different perspectives, different background, how we're raised, what we've experienced in life. But I thank you for calling. I'm out of time, so got to end here. But thank you for weighing in. Hey, listen, I put things out for discussion. I put things out so we can hear different perspectives. Phone lines are still jammed. Stay right there. I'm going to quickly introduce this subject after just a one-minute break. It's no time to do anything except take a sip of water, all right? And then I'm going right back to your calls. So stay right there, and you'll be joining me in the second hour here on the Line of Fire. Hey, friends, please take a moment to pray for the work that we're doing. We are on the front lines of a lot of major, major issues in society today, and your prayer support means the world to us. And if you believe in what we're doing and value this broadcast being on the air, consider joining our team, joining our support team, being a torchbearer, a monthly supporter. Put aside $1 a day, $30 or more per month. You're part of our torchbearer team, and we'll bless you in many different ways every month. Go to the website, askdrbrown.org, click on donate to find out more. My bottom line today, in the midst of volatile, difficult, divisive issues, we must be able to listen and learn. Did it happen again? Black student, white cop, controversy in South Carolina? I'll weigh in on that today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Usually that's his classroom procedure. If you're not going to give up your phone, then he's going to write you up and kick you out. But when she refused to leave, that's when he called an administrator in there. And of course, she refused to leave again. And that's when he called Deputy Fields.
And then Deputy Fields comes in, and then what happened then, Naya?
Then, like I said, he comes towards her and he asks her, are you going to leave with me? And then he moves the desk to the side, moves her laptop from off of her desk. And he grabs her arm and he put his arm around her neck at first. And so that's why you actually see her. If you get the right video, then you'll see her like trying to swing at him. And at that point, then he just flipped the desk back and grabbed her out of it and threw her. And that's when you see her rolling across the floor.
We had a very lively first hour flooded with phone calls. Excuse me. I want to get your take now. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. This is Michael Brown. We are talking about the situation that just took place this week in South Carolina. And we'll give the black, white details just because we have to. Black student in South Carolina, high school, 16-year-old, using her phone during class. The teacher, black teacher, tells her to put it down. She refuses. When she refuses to comply, he then gets the administrator to come in, who I believe was white. The administrator tells her she must put the phone down. She refuses to. At this point, they call the school resource officer, who is a professional policeman. He comes in, asks her, are you going to leave with me? When she refuses, then the altercation breaks out. Now, according to one report, whether it's one of the videos that's been seen or not, when the officer grabbed her arm to remove her, that she then struck him, and then that's when he grabs her around the neck. Of course, he throws her across the room, and he's been fired. Now, here are my questions. Here are my questions that I'm putting out, all right? This has been made into a race issue. I'm not denying that racial profiling takes place. I'm not denying that there is often inequity in our court system as well towards black Americans. I'm not denying that for a split second. I'm questioning whether race should have been brought into this. That's the first thing, because you're initially having an issue with a black teacher, all right? Second thing, the officer, from what we understand, was is dating an African-American woman. Next, my big concern is that there has been very little talk about the massive disrespect. That, to me, is shocker number one. How do we have a culture, how do we have a situation where a 16-year-old student refuses to obey teacher, administrator, and police officer? All right, then the last thing, was there a better way the officer could have handled this? He's already been fired. He's already been fired. To me, it seems pretty quick that everything's been done. He's already been fired. The Department of Justice, FBI, got involved with this. That seems utterly bizarre to me. I'm not justifying what the officer did. Was it excessive use of force? Obviously, according to the local police, it was. What would have been a better way to handle it? I've read that if someone resists arrest, that you can use whatever force you need to. Obviously, you don't take out a machete and chop the person's head off. But use whatever force you need to subdue the person, put them in handcuffs if they resist arrest. So what would have been the better way for the officer to handle this? Now, I'm not taking any side on this, except to say it disturbs me when people do not begin their statement by saying what the student did was inexcusable in refusing to obey teacher, administrator, and police. Everything else, did the policeman act wrongly? How could he have handled things better? Is this a race issue? Everything else, I have no opinion on. I'm asking questions. Except that he was fired and there appears to be excessive use of force, but I wasn't there to witness everything. 866-34-TRUTH. We come back, I'm going straight to your calls.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There are reports that Deputy Fields, the police officer, had a reputation for being violent. There are reports that he was a great guy and not a racist and received awards. Could both be true? Could be. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Martha in Stilton, Massachusetts. Thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call.
You bet.
Yep. And before I start off, I just want to say that I really appreciate all the work that you're doing and that you're standing firm on God's word and not compromising. I love your show. I love what you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Without knowing the officer, his values, background, thoughts, beliefs, I can't make an assumption as to whether, you know, his actions were, you know, provoked by, you know, his racist thoughts or beliefs. So I can't make that assumption, and so I'm not even going to bring race into this matter.
Okay.
I would, first of all, like to start off by saying, yes, she was absolutely disrespectful. I have worked as a juvenile detention officer. I have worked as a history instructor at a medium-level juvenile security institution for boys for various crimes. And even at those institutions, the actions that the officer took, if I, as an employee or staff, took that action against these criminal boys that I work with, I would be fired. I would be probably criminal persecution would have, you know, been placed on me if I took those steps that he took. I think he was way out of line in terms mm-hmm. of his actions and his behavior. There are protocols, you know, you are taught ways in which to deal with situations like this. You know, I've been called every name in the book. You know, I've been had young men be super aggressive towards me, and I would never think to, you know, deal with the situation in the manner that the officer dealt with it. You know, we are taught various takedown moves. We are taught, you know, verbal de-escalation. There are a lot of other ways that he could have chosen to go, and mm-hmm. I think he took a very violent route. As a parent, if I had any children, I don't have any children, but if I had any children and I saw this video, I would be quite upset, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think his actions were right. I'm not saying he's a racist. I'm not saying the girl wasn't disrespectful. She was. We can all agree upon that. But, you know, I don't think, like, a child refusing to give up her cell phone rationalizes kind of just the whole situation that occurred, that unraveled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all clear. Listen, that's a very fair perspective, and based on video footage and the fact that he was fired that quickly, that's obviously the perspective of others as well. Hey, I appreciate you weighing in, and thank you for the kind words. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to West Orange, New Jersey. Bob, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. I had the opportunity to watch the three videos over and over again on CNN last night. I wanted to comment on answering a couple of your questions, but the first one, what the officer did was to act after he had been ordered to act by the principal, and his job was to remove the child. And when he put his hands on the girl, she locked her calves under the chair. And so he couldn't get her out by just picking her up. If he picked her up, he'd have to pick up the chair and her with both hands. He would be vulnerable to her hitting him. But the thing that I thought was so interesting, and it was so fast, this officer immediately put that chair down so that he was able to slide her off sideways instead of trying to pick her up and get her legs, because even though her legs were locked under the chair, he was able to slide her out. And one of the things that's troubled me is the verbs used in the media, tossed, thrown. He moved very quickly, but he carried her with her bottom dragging a little bit, and then out of sight, then you could see him trying to hold a violent person down. And the other comment I wanted to make was when the sheriff, who was his primary employer, was on the radio or TV, he said he really wasn't interested in what the child was doing. He was only interested in what the officer did. And I have a background as a lawyer. I worked in a prison for a period of time. And my reaction was that this was the slickest, most professional job I've ever seen happen. And I'm not... But I can also say this, Dr. Brown, that the injection of force into a situation is always emotionally traumatic. So if you're anywhere near where force has to be used, it's very shocking. So there is an emotional aspect there, and I would say from what I saw, it was just a very efficient act, but given the tenor of the times, they're going to be very much divided over this issue.
Got it.
Is there any other question? I'll try to answer it for you.
No, listen, you've answered a bunch. You've weighed in with your perspective, and you've even watched the videos more carefully than most of us have. So thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Here's what I took exception to in the first hour. I took exception to a caller accusing me of having a race-based perspective because or taking a non-neutral position or a non-biased position because I said the sheriff said that in a video he saw the girl punched the officer. I said, no, we don't know what actually happened. But the fact that I even said that without seeing it was taking perspective. Or when callers have said they know for a fact that this was a race issue, I take exception to that. I don't know how we can know that for a fact. I have no idea how we can know that for a fact, or that a black officer would have treated a white student differently. That, to me, is making a very serious judgment. Now, to repeat, I'm white. I've never been racially profiled. I haven't been raised and suffered some of the injustices that some of you African-Americans have. I haven't suffered in unequal treatment in the courts that some of you have. So I'm not claiming we have a perfect anything, a perfect system, perfect law enforcement, far from it. I'm simply asking if this has been escalated beyond what it should have. According to attorney David French, the Spring Valley arrest video isn't disturbing. Here's why. And he says this, no one was injured in the fracas, but the media immediately identified as an example of a white police officer brutalizing a black youth. Vox Priest breathlessly said the video, quote, shows what happens when you put cops in schools, and called it an example of, quote, the school-to-prison pipeline. Within a day, local officials had requested an FBI and Department of Justice investigation, and the media feeding frenzy was fully underway. He said, I have a different perspective after watching and rewatching the incident. I keep coming to the same conclusion. This is what happens when a person resists a lawful office order from a police officer to move. Anyway, he goes on with his perspective. These, to me, are all questions that need to be asked and put on the table. But I'm here to hear what you have to say, your perspective, as you weigh in. And trust me, I'm listening carefully. And it's not whether you agree with me or not, because I'm not really putting out positions. I'm listening to you. We go to Brockton, Massachusetts. Tracy, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
I work in situations like this every day. I'm a paraprofessional. We've been trained with CPI, which teaches us how to handle kids who are either out of control, need to be restrained, and the like. This was crazy to me to see.
Mm-hmm.
A young girl, in the situation she was in, from the multiple videos I've seen, silent, sitting in a chair, being flipped over in a chair, which is dangerous. Anything could have happened. She could have broken her neck. And thrown across the room. To say that she resisted arrest, I think at this point, when you're in that situation and you're that young, she's scared to death now. It's a fight or flight type of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
She was completely wrong. for not listening to the teacher, not giving up her phone, being disrespectful, not listening to administrators. But on the other side of that was way over the line.
Mm-hmm.
In my job, we would have had a...
Yeah, tell us, please. That's a big question. Trained professionals, how were you trained to handle it? So thank you for the perspective up to now, but I want to make sure if I get a break, you get to finish on the other side. But in your view, when the students disrupted the whole class, you've agreed that she's wrong on all these counts, but you're mortified by the way the officer treated her. So I'm really curious to know what's the proper protocol, what's the better way to address it? Because again, I've not justified the policeman's actions for a split second. Be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for being part of the conversation. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the incident in South Carolina with the 16-year-old black girl who refused to obey the directives of her black teacher, then refused to listen to the white administrator, then refused to leave the room with the white cop, who then... pulled her out of her chair and some would say threw her across the room. He has been fired for his actions. Did she assault him in the process? Did that trigger the escalation in violence? We're talking about the issues, the questions. Was race involved? Should the Department of Justice and FBI gotten involved? I've given a couple of thoughts, but basically hearing from you. So, Tracy, back to you. In your view, let's say you're the cop, what was the way to handle this?
When we work with the kids in our school who are out of control or refusing to move, we always call another staff member. We carry walkies with us at all times just in case there's an incident in any part of the school where we are always with our students. The kid would have been given a 30-second timer to make a decision of his own. If the child is not out of control and is just being obstinate and refusing to move, we would have left it alone. When the kids were in another class or their children were moving from class to class, then if she had to be escorted or restrained or whatever, if her behavior escalated, we would have handled it then. But there would have never been one person there to make the decision.
So last question. So then, in effect, that child then would have successfully disobeyed everybody and potentially set a precedent for the rest of the school that you don't have to obey, and you can disrupt the whole class.
No, because there are times when you need to pick your battles. I think handling it the way that it was handled with this incident scared the rest of the classroom. The kids didn't know what to do. It put them in a position like, should I say something? Should I not say something? The mm-hmm. teacher at that point didn't do anything. So now all these assumptions are being made about the other people in the room, and now this young girl is saying no one protected me, even though there were multiple people in the room that may have been able to do something. She could have been suspended. Her parents could have been called and been forced to come in. There could have been other consequences of her actions. But to go this far does more damage.
Got it. All right. Hey, thank you for weighing in, and thanks for the perspective. Much appreciated, Tracy. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Alexandria, Virginia. Nate, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Nate. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. I think the officer could have taken a different alternative, a different way of dealing with the girl. But one thing I want to emphasize is on, as the Ephesians say, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Anybody who's older to be your parent, you should give them respect and obey. Now, I don't know how the girl's life or how her parents is, but the way she was in the class was very disrespectful. But there are many ways that the teacher could have dealt with it. One of it was, as previous callers have said, call her parents and let her parents come to the school and then take her. And I believe they could have given her a 3-day suspension for her behavior, and that wouldn't have led to what happened there. And should the officer be fired? I think he should have received suspension. Do I think it's racial? Now that I know that he has a black girlfriend or something, it doesn't look, it might not be, but I don't think it's racial. But
got it.
There are different, but the force and authority that the officers used was too much, way too much.
Got it.
On the girl. She's a young girl. I don't know how old she was, but
16. Way, got it. Hey.
Yeah, it was way too.
Nate, I appreciate you weighing in. Thank you so much for the comments. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to South Carolina. Rock Hill, Holly, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. The reason the Posting Courier, which is a Columbia newspaper media outlet, has reported that the reason that he was removed from his seat is because of the excessive force used in throwing her across the room. If you watch the end of the video, after he gets her out of her chair, from that point, that was excessive force, as per their policies determined. So that's the appropriate reason for why he was removed. I've worked 911. I've worked close with officers. I really think it's time that 911 centers begin to release calls across the board. All calls that they get for service for police officers. I really believe it's time that all of those got released so that the public could begin to learn what police officers deal with on a day-to-day basis.
So you're calling, Holly, as someone very sympathetic to police, but saying that the officer was still in the wrong in this case.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're human beings, just like we are. Just like the child sitting in the chair. They're going to do things they shouldn't do. They're going to make bad decisions. There are going to be some that shouldn't wear a uniform and some that should all the time. But the biggest problem, in my opinion, is that the public only see one side of the story repetitively. They have no idea what goes on, what the callers say to the operators, what the callers say to the dispatchers. They have no idea. And sometimes we would get calls. There's a protocol question we have to ask. The question is, do they have a weapon? And 99% of the time, it's either a flat yes or a flat no. If it's a yes, they'll tell you what weapon they have and where it is on their person. But there is a percentage of times when people say, I don't know what he or she has got. And we know, when we hear that, we know that they know that that's going to escalate the response of the officer to the call. It's going to change the call entirely. The officer safety is first. And if we don't know whether or not there's a weapon, there has to be an assumption that there is. So it changes. It changes the response to the call. I think it's time that the public started hearing some of these calls.
Yep.
I really do. I think it's time that we started, but we need to be very careful because everybody's paying attention to the end times, and I think this is extremely important, looking for the signs of the end times. Matthew 24.
Let me just jump in because we're out of time here, completely apart from eschatology, end times, these are real issues. So on the one hand, we have absolutely clear examples. Say there was a black man running away from a white cop, and the white cop shot him in the back and killed him. And that policeman has been found guilty of manslaughter or whatever the actual charge was, but he's been convicted. When that happens, it's a horror, it's a tragedy. Thank God it was found on video. Thank God. On the other hand, all we see tends to be police mistreating, police abusing. Not denying that it happens. What about all of the endless issues that police have to deal with and their lives being threatened? That's the other side. So this officer's life was not being threatened in South Carolina. We understand that. But there's a whole other perspective of law enforcement that needs to be addressed. Holly, thank you for calling. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Problems ranging from substandard education to a shortage of jobs and opportunity, an absence of drug treatment programs, and laws that result in it being easier in too many neighborhoods for a young person to purchase a gun than a book.
Discussing some of the situation regarding the student and the officer in South Carolina. 16-year-old black student refused the directives of the teacher to put her phone away. He then called in the administrator, who I believe was white. The student then refused to listen to the administrator. Then police officer who's on duty there, resource officer in the school, was called in when she refused to obey the police's a policeman's directive. He then used force to remove her, and immediately the reaction was excessive force, violence against the student. The FBI, Department of Justice got involved. Was this a white-on-black police-on-black race issue? My perspective is simply this, and that was the president speaking to chiefs of police in Chicago. My perspective is, number one, there should be the first discussion being the absolute shocking refusal to obey authority and how we can have a society where that happens, where the teacher's not listened to, the administrator's not listened to, and the police officer's not listened to. That's number one. Number two, I deeply question whether this should be raised as a race issue. The student initially disobeyed a black teacher. The officer, I understand, is dating a black woman. So I'm not denying that there are race issues. As I've said many times, I've never been racially profiled. I've never been mistreated because of my skin color, all right? I'm not denying that there are race issues. I'm not denying there are race issues in the society, the courts. I'm not denying that for a split second. But to me, it's a rush to judgment to assume this was a race issue here. And to then bring in the FBI, Department of Justice, come on, we've got enough other issues to deal with. Now, did the officer act wrongly? The overwhelming consensus is yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he's paying the price for that. I've been asking those who are trained or have background what would have been a better way to address the situation. Some have justified the officer's behavior. The vast majority of callers and others have not. So my only positions that I'm taking are, one, why not start with a categorical rebuke to the lack of authority, number one. Number two, don't bring race in by assumption because we simply do not know. And number three, let us fairly look at the officer's actions, and if he used excessive force, which seems to be the conclusion, then he suffers the penalty for that. All right, 866-34-TRUTH, but obviously I wasn't there, and you weren't there either, unless you happen to be a student that was in the class or a teacher and you're calling. 866-34-TRUTH, Greensboro, North Carolina. James, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I have a perspective from an African-American point of view.
Please.
I've worked in the school system with children. I worked in the public, and I've had some dealings with police training. And my hat's off to the policemen. By and large, they do a great job. What I see from the black perspective is that oftentimes when a situation has escalated to a point to where a policeman has to make a choice between excessive force or maybe holding off for a while, it seems that it's disproportionately administered more toward black students or people than it is toward white students. Mm-hmm. And having many examples and confrontations where I had both black and white students, the officers oftentimes are, when they're elevated to a point where their emotions take over, or they do administer the discipline differently.
And I right, tell you what, stay right there. Everything you're saying, you sound to be speaking in a very, very fair-minded way. So stay right there. I want to get your perspective. And we come back, let's see. Bishop Harris, William, Alex, Clint, you're next.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, getting your perspective on what happened in South Carolina this week in the school. So, James, you spoke with appreciation for the police, recognizing the many difficult situations that they have. But you're saying that from your own experience, what you've witnessed and seen with your eyes as an African-American, that if two situations are equal and there's a choice of using excessive force or not, if it's a black that's being subdued by the police versus a white, that it seems to be more of a gut level, quick reaction to use excessive force against the black. You're saying that's what you've witnessed over the years?
Yes, and I'm not saying that by and large a high percentage of policemen, black and white, minister their duties fairly. But What we see in the news media are only the incidents where it's not administered fairly. And over a period of time, I have noticed that emotions take over procedure, and it seems that some police officers do let emotions be administered differently when it's a white or a African-American. And I think therein that administration of their duties is where we oftentimes deem the whole police force racist when that's not fair. But they are representative of the force.
Got it. Hey, James, I very much appreciate you weighing in, and I appreciate the caution in which you say what you say. Thank you for your perspective, sir. 866-34-TRUTH. We want to do our best to focus on what took place in South Carolina this week. Friend Bishop Harris in Durham, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Go for it.
Hey, Dr. Brown, God bless you.
Bless you.
I want to say that we love you, and you got one of the greatest ministries ever. You know how much we love you and that.
I know it.
And most Christians just reverence the Jews, and I get a lot of flack with anti-Semitism. I just want to throw that out there. And I look at the similarities, and I look at how many times I'm kicked out of people's houses. If I have a delivery business, and I come there, and I got the Star David on my truck, and I'm honoring the Jews, and people don't want to deal with me just because I got left
serious?
For the Jews.
You serious? Yeah, wow. Yeah, I mean, I totally believe you. I totally believe you, sir.
I'm constantly attacked just for the love I have for the Jews.
I know
it. I look at that, and that's why I say I look at the same situation. I sympathize with the officer having an African American girlfriend. Sometimes your emotions can take over, and it becomes abuse of force. You know, sometimes it's an emotional issue, but they are racial issues. And sometimes you do have people who are married or dating African Americans still have level racism in them, and that can go both ways. So it's not that you're trying to really ridicule the officer, but at the same token, you use excessive force dealing with the female. You know, about to doing those you're having to do unto you. I would not want my daughter handled that way. I would not want that situation handled. You would not want your daughter handled that way. You know, he could have calmed down. She wasn't really attacking him. She's totally wrong now by not listening, blatant disrespect, didn't give her phone up. All that is totally wrong. 100% agree. But, you know, in this age of technology, you never know who's watching. And it cost him his job. You know, it's a way to handle things. If he would have used wisdom and the way he handled it, I guarantee you the problem would have neutralized itself. He would still have his job. They would have removed her from the school and decided whether they're going to suspend her or not. So that's what takes patience and dealing with people. And sometimes, unfortunately, with dealing with African Americans, not, you know, sometimes that patience is not always there. But like I said, it's not trying to paint him a racist. Him having an African-American girlfriend weighs a lot. It means a lot. But at the end of the matter, you know, your heart, you know, you got to realize if you date an African-American girlfriend, then why would you be so, you know, rough on an African-American kid?
The one thing I say, and by the way, Bishop Harris, I always appreciate your very kind words for me. You're very gracious, and your love for the Jewish people always moves me. We don't, in my judgment, just as someone that, to me, what would trigger my emotions is not the color of the person's skin, but the defiance of authority. That's what would kind of shock me, and that's where you have to Again, I don't know what the procedure was supposed to be. In other words, I don't think the sheriff ever told us how he was supposed to handle that if she refused to obey and then hence resisted arrest. But to me, the trigger, the emotional trigger, has nothing to do with the skin color. It has everything to do with that defiance of authority. When somebody just says no, and it's like, who are you to say no to me? And that to me was where the emotions would get triggered, I think. But look, we all agree what the girl did is blatantly wrong. Did it justify that treatment? That's the other thing. And what I keep asking my listeners for is, okay, what's the better way to have handled it? And it seems that most that have offered an opinion have basically said better to not have the confrontation and then somehow handle it later, suspend the student, do something out so that all this, the class knows you can't get away with this rather than let it be that explosive. I just don't know how you do that and let the day go on. That part I still haven't figured out.
Well, that's why I think that why God gave us patience. I do believe that had he been more patient in the way he dealt with it, knowing that it could have escalated, I think it's an officer's job to keep it from escalating. It's like some of the suicide people. People are already distraught and they want to kill themselves. Well, Officer John should not be there to come there and shoot him. And there's so many cases where people have been shot right here in the city of Durham, man. He's already distraught. And Officer John was to be patient and deal with this person so he can get help or treatment. You know, so
yeah,
you
got
know, I'm the founder of the Violence Crusade for Christ. So if he would have just been more patient, they would have neutralized it. She was showing out, but she didn't need to get dragged and this and that. And
got it.
You see, the argument could go both ways. The lawyer was talking earlier, but the argument could go both ways. When he grabbed her, she could say, I'm defending myself, you know, because the way you grabbed me so rough, and then she was slammed back. I saw the video, and it don't look good. It don't look good on video.
No, it does not look good. And that's why it's basically costing this officer his job. But Bishop Harris, always great to hear from you. One of these days when we face-to-face. But thank you for the call. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. If I have an axe to grind, because the very, very strong consensus is against the police officer, if I have an axe to grind, it's do not disregard the blatant disobedience of the student. And by the way, that's not a race issue to me. That's a student authority issue to me. Let's focus on that in our culture, how we have a culture where students could have that blatant disregard for the authority of teachers and administrators and police. Let's stay there, okay, as a starting point. And then we can say what the officer did is totally wrong, and that's the overwhelming consensus there, but let's not ignore that other point. That's my only axe to grind. If the officer acted in a wrong way and he suffers the penalty for it, so be it. So be it, all right? That's my main axe to grind. And let's not unnecessarily inject race into it. Race is often an issue. Often it is an issue. I'm not arguing that. I have no clue that it was an issue in this case. So not justifying the officer, all right, but saying don't ignore the other part. That other part does not justify what the officer did if he used excessive force. But it's something in the narrative we must not ignore. That's my only axe to grind. Otherwise, I'm listening to every call very, very carefully. We go to Greensboro. William, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. How are you today?
Doing very well. Thanks.
Okay. I've listened to all of the previous callers, and each one of them had something to say that I would have said myself. But there's a couple of things I want to make sure I say. As dealing with the issue of the girl being disobedient and disrespectful, she was totally, you know, 16-year-old student. If she was asked, you know, to put her phone away, she should have, you know, immediately. And when the other, you know, administrators came, you know, that was a sign that she definitely knew she was out. You know, she wasn't being proper. But the end result of the officer's actions almost make it where it's impossible to even notice what.
Yeah, I understand.
I
understand.
The young lady did. But I wanted to say, as previous callers have said, the way the officer handled it, you know, I listened to the caller from up in New Jersey that said he was very efficient at the way he handled that. That was totally, I don't know.
He's the only one that expressed that, I think, so far.
I don't know what video he saw. But one of the things I wanted to say was when he threw that chair back, that girl's head could have hit the floor and she could have been killed or had a serious concussion or whatever. You know, he wasn't really thinking rationally when he did that. And he made the statement before he did it. He said, if you don't comply, I'm going to make you. That didn't look good on his part. You know, that made it look sort of like I'm a tough guy and I'm going to do this. You know?
Yeah, I understand. So, look, it's a tough thing when someone looks at you in the eye and won't obey you and you're the authority. But you make a great point. The video is so extreme that you forget what happened before. Thank you, sir.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I'll get to as many calls as I can. In the next few minutes, we go to Winston-Salem. Alex, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Yes. How are you, sir?
Doing very well, thank you.
Great, great. I've heard most of the calls that came in so far, and I do have one concern when we began to talk of authority and disrespect. In the culture that we live in today, media, whether it's record or television, has created a generation or several generations that don't reason or have a regard for respect.
Yeah.
Now, the problem needs to be solved by parents and authorities also so that we don't create these areas in our lives because all this stuff goes back to our psyche and how we learn and deal with issues. So what you have is you have a group of underclass people that already are born into a society where the generations before them have talked about society, police, government, that how oppressive they are. So why would you automatically be submissive to authority, whether it's in the home or outside the home?
Yes, so how do you fix that?
Well, you fix it by teaching, Dr. Brown,
mm-hmm.
and honesty. And so we don't have honesty toward these young people. When we can't, I can't actually tell a young African-American person or a minority a truth about their job situation or their station in life and give them total honesty without saying, yes, there is prejudice. Yes, we do have problems. But now let's go forward. But no one wants to seem to tell the truth on any of these issues.
We got to address the larger issues, Alex. It's such a vicious cycle. Look, I do not justify for a split second what the girl did in terms of disobeying authority. Just to focus on that, we're not talking about the officer for the moment. To me, it's appalling, it's shocking. But then I know, how was she raised? What was her upbringing? And then I ask, okay, were there two strikes against her mother growing up or what her situation is? Does she know her father? So the thing begins to snowball when you realize that the large societal mess that we have that we can't ignore and that we together have to figure out, all right, let's first agree there's a big elephant in the room, regardless of whose fault or how it got here. And now how do we address it, especially as believers together? So, yeah, an individual situation, you deal with what the officer did individually, right or wrong, he pays the price. You deal with what the girl did with authority, right or wrong, and have to address that. But the larger surrounding issues we've got to talk about, we've got to acknowledge they're there, we've got to acknowledge history, regardless of pointing finger or not pointing finger, and then say together, how do we move forward in a constructive way? It's so massive. That's the problem. It's so massive, you know?
And it also goes to perceptions. Now, the white officer, believe it or not, just like school teachers, administrators and public figures, we read all these biased numbers about minorities, and so we take these numbers in and we have these perceptions. So you can't tell me this officer does not operate on perceptions. Things that he's experienced, read, been involved in, regardless if he has a black girlfriend or not.
Yeah, but what if though it's not perception. Here, so let's look at it the other way. What if, in an overwhelming way, he has had to deal with misbehavior, disrespect, and crime from African-American kids? Let's just say that's the reality, not the perception. Now, here's the bigger question. Why would that be happening? What's the societal issue? What are those roots? What's
issues.
The right. So that's
training. And let's not look past his training. His training, his police training, should have been enough for him to avoid the situation that escalated.
Right, and that's the question that we've addressed quite a few times. What would have been the better approach? What would have been the better way to handle it? Again, I'm not a law enforcement officer, and I'm quite glad I wasn't stuck in that situation, because obviously, I don't imagine I'll ever attack somebody, but I don't know what the right response is. But hey, Alex, I've got some other callers I want to get to, but thank you for weighing in. And these are big, big conversations we have to keep having. That's why I dove in on this today, so we could open up conversation. Let's go to Greensboro, North Carolina. Clint, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Just wanted to give you a perspective, having worked in law enforcement.
Yeah.
I saw a number of issues here. First, to address the last caller, the submission to authority or recognizing authority, that's a deep societal problem that I don't even know where to begin to resolve that. But looking at this particular situation, I saw a lot of errors on the officer's part. My department's gone through the CPI training that one of your other callers mentioned earlier. It's a non-crisis violent intervention training, dealing mainly with psychiatric issues, things like that, how to get them to comply verbally first, physically if necessary. And it works. It's a team approach, and it works well. I don't want to kick this officer any more than he already has been, but it seems to me he just failed to control the situation.
Mm-hmm.
He went in there alone, and it seemed like he tried to rush the situation. Now, it's possible the teacher or the administrator was rushing him. Hurry up and get her out of here. I've had that happen on calls. We'll go to someone's house or a place of business, and they'll want someone out just trespassing, and then they'll want to dictate to us how and when we get them out of there. And my philosophy has always been I would rather talk for 30 minutes than fight for 1 minute.
Mm.
Makes it a lot easier getting out of bed the next morning at my age. Plus, everybody walks away unhurt, no problem. I think this officer probably should have backed up, called for backup, maybe even a supervisor, put their heads together on how to resolve it. A lot of cases like this, once you have a show of force with 2, 3, 4 officers, the person will usually comply voluntarily because they realize that they're probably going to lose the battle. I think he just rushed to judgment. And when he reached out,
let me just say this, Clint. I'm not a law enforcement officer. My uncle was a policeman in New York many, many a decade ago. That's as close as I got to it personally. But some of my friends, family members have gone on ride-alongs many times with police. But what you say is fascinating because I never would have thought that a student refusing to obey an officer in a school might have merited slow the whole thing down, call in others. I would have just thought you got to put your foot down somehow and do it as easily as you can. So that's fascinating to hear from your perspective.
You got to do that, but you've also got to consider officer safety and safety of the suspect or the individual as well.
Got it.
And, you do have cases like the Baltimore situation with Freddie Gray. It got out of hand. But in most cases, the more officers you have, the less likely you're going to have an altercation and the less likely someone's going to get hurt.
Got it.
Better control.
Hey, listen, sir, I'm out of time, but I'm so glad we got to hear from you as a current law enforcement officer weighing in with your concerns and criticism of the way things were handled. I'm so sorry I didn't get to every call. I did my best to take as many as possible. These are conversations we'll continue to have in the coming days. So thank you for weighing in today. I think we've all are for the better for hearing the calls. My bottom line today, looking at the larger situation, how wise it is to be self-controlled and use maximum wisdom.